Amen. Well, glad that y'all are here tonight. I'm glad that you sung. Didn't Brother Dell do a wonderful job? You know, I don't want to lift Brother Dell up too high, but I am grateful that he is our worship pastor, that he is one who leads our hearts in song. And Brother Dell, I appreciate you. Thank you for doing that. Kind of give you all an update of a few things that have been going on before we get in tonight's message. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you want to go ahead and turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. In a matter of about 2.5 weeks after we got everything situated and figured out, that was the last week of July and the first week of August, a few of the folks here at church set out for a simple goal. And that was to get the MBSF building that's on Arkansas Tech University's campus ready for us to use. And I just want to mention those people, Brother Dennis and Susan Lynch, Mike and Vanessa McKinney, Nick and Heather Thompson, TJ and Samantha Richard, Jamie and Shandy Tolan, Kevin, Karen, Noah and Colin Solomon, Michael and Jackie Weatherford, Jennifer Combs, Jan Ratterstorff, and my wife, Sonia Roach. I do appreciate these people for taking time and time that they willingly gave. Y'all don't understand how many nights that we spent over there to get the building ready and painted and furnished and all the things that had to go along with that. Man, scrubbing toilets were not the greatest things in the world, but those things had to be done. Changing doorknobs, whatever needed to happen. These people pitched in and did the work that needed to be done, and I do appreciate them. Let y'all know that our very first meeting that we had, which was the very first night that school started, we had 51 students. And I praise God for that. Brother Michael said he was praying for us to have 50 students sometime during the semester. Well, you need to keep praying. So we'll have more than that. But we've been averaging close to in the 40s somewhere. I don't have a really good exact count. But somewhere in the 40s, you know, how school starts. You've got all different kinds of things that happen that are pulling students back and forth and throughout all different kind of areas in their life. And we have a very good cross-section of students, of the student population in our group, from Greeks to band folks to you name it. We've got it. And they still get pulled, and they need your prayers. And so I'm going to ask that y'all continue to pray for the college ministry as we start a new endeavor on campus. It's not like we haven't done college ministry at Victory for years and years, but this is different. This is something that's new. And come by what we affectionately call the corner. We don't refer to it as the MBSF Center anymore. It's on the corner, the 503 West L Street. And come see what's going on. Come walk through the building and see how it looks and spend some time in prayer. Drive by it and stop and pray that God's will would be done throughout this entire time. Colin, can you come get this thing from me, please? That way I don't have to mess with it while I'm up here. Thank you, son. I try to empty out all my pockets and get everything away from me when I'm preaching. So I don't want to focus on anything else. So before we get started, Brother Josh, would you do me a favor? Would you pray for college ministry before we get started? All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to be tonight. And I hope you found your place there. How many of y'all have ever been discouraged in your life? Anybody? I'm not going to ask you how many of you have been discouraged and you're discouraged right now, because we may have way more hands than what we need. So let's just make a pact with each other tonight, okay? We're going to pray for each other because we're all discouraged at some point in our life. Everybody good with that? Okay, I'll pray for you, you pray for me. Because I know tomorrow probably I'll be discouraged sometime throughout the day. So, all right? So we'll just do that. But we're going to look in 2 Timothy, and we can find many examples in the Scripture. We can find many examples in Paul's life where he was discouraged by the events that surrounded his journey that he was taking for the kingdom. But then again, Jesus told him, or said this in Acts chapter 9, verse 16. He said, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, if there's going to be discouragements, if there's going to be things that go along in our life, expect them if you're a Christian. Expect discouragements. I expect discouragements. I expect hard times, but I also expect a rejoicing time. And I look forward to the rejoicing more than I look forward to the discouragements. We find Paul was discouraged a number of times in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. But Jesus told him, don't be afraid, I am with you. In Paul, we find him discouraged in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 23. And again, what did Jesus say? He said, be of good cheer. And throughout everything, Paul relied on God to be his provider, his protector, his guide. And we find again in Acts 27 that Paul was in the midst of a storm and he completely trusted God to preserve his life, if for nothing more than what Jesus told him in Acts chapter 23, you will bear witness of my name in Rome. He trusted God. He trusted him throughout all of the things that were happening. And even in our own lives, we can find our journey to be difficult. And some days it's more difficult than others. Maybe we don't have the shipwrecks. Maybe we don't have being run out of the majority of the towns that we find ourselves in. But definitely living in this crazy world, we find all kinds of discouragement. And so the question is this. How do we handle these discouragements? I know each one of us have our own little pad thing that we do to handle discouragements. And we go to that and we hold on to it a little bit more. And maybe it's just, I'm going to go spend some quiet time. Maybe I'm going to push everything away. Maybe I'm going to go to the Scripture. And that's a great place to go when you're discouraged. But we find in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, it says these words. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the second part of that, in verse 6, it says, For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And I can stop right there in those scriptures. And if that's where we ended tonight, that speaks volumes into our lives to know that God is our helper. And not to fear anything else, especially when He's with us right there all the time. But we're not going to stop there tonight. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 18. If you'll stand as we read God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. And Paul said to Timothy, Be diligent to me and to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loving this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, the Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with you at Carpus, at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly Father. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brother Richard Garrigus, would you lead us as we pray? Maybe seated. In these final words that Paul gave to Timothy that we have recorded in Scripture, Paul describes the actions of those who seem to abandon him, abandon not only him, but the faith. The descriptions of how some were with him and they were not faithful, and how no one came to defend him, and how everyone seemed to abandon him. And Paul gives us four important steps on overcoming discouragement. We're going to look at those tonight. Like I said, we all have our own separate ways that we handle discouragement, and each one of us are different. But Paul told Timothy in verse 9, he said, "Be diligent. Be diligent." He said, "Hurry and get here." In verse 21, he said, "Come before winter." And Paul wanted Timothy to be zealous in his journey. He wanted him to come right then. He wanted Timothy to be eager. And Paul really wanted Timothy to be nothing else, to do anything else but come to him quickly and get to him and help him and do the things that he's going to ask him to do. You see, most times when we are discouraged, what do we want to happen? We want it to be over with quickly, right? We want it to be finished. We want it to be past us. And Paul said, be diligent and get here. Paul had Luke, but he wanted other folks to come that he knew were faithful. He knew Timothy was faithful. He knew Timothy was raised by great parents, grandmothers. He knew that he would be of a benefit to him, and he wanted him to come. See, Paul, even during this time of discouragement, didn't think that he had it all handled. He needed somebody to help. Now, we have to realize when we're discouraged that we are not as strong as we think we are, and we can't handle everything. When I'm discouraged, I really don't want to shut people out. You can ask Brother Michael. He gets to hear my discouragement a lot. Yes. Because I need that. I'm not the kind of person that wants to go off and be in quiet for very long when I'm discouraged. I want people with me. Because I need their strength, their faith. I don't need them to hold my hand, but I need to know that they are there and they're walking with me. And that's what Paul wanted Timothy to come. Hurry and get here. Because I'm not as strong as I want to be. Even though I have God, I still want you to come. When we're discouraged, don't go at it alone. Paul said, be diligent in our walk. The second thing he said was, be practical. In verse 13, we find that. Paul said, bring my coat. That seems like a silly thing, right? Why did he want his coat brought to him? Because winter was coming. He was cold. He knew what he needed. How many of y'all think of stuff that's down the road when you're discouraged? Anybody? Or you just focus on what your problem is at that time? You know, even though Paul found himself in a discouraging situation, he knew, man, if I don't have something warm, I'm going to freeze to death. It sounds like a simple thing. Now, he left his coat in Troas. Anybody remember what happened in Troas? Paul preached way too long, and a young man fell out the third story window. That's what happened in Troas. If that happened during my preaching, I think I'd leave more than my coat, Brother Doug. I really do. There are times during discouragement when what we focus on is right in front of us. We focus on fixing our situation without realizing what we need down the road. And Paul knew that he needed something to keep him warm, something that he could have as he kept going. That's why he didn't stop there. And he told him to not only bring my coat, but bring my books and especially the parchments. When we're discouraged, we need to stay knowledgeable. We need to keep good stuff in front of us. Paul was knowledgeable. Paul was a learned man. In fact, he was one of the most learned people that we have in Scripture. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, he tells us that. He spent time with no one else but Jesus. Man, how great is that? Let's just stop right there. If you don't spend time with anybody else but Jesus when you're discouraged, you're spending time with the right person. And Paul spent time with no one else but Jesus, learning from Him, communing with Him. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, it tells us that even though Paul knew seemingly everything that he needed, he still wanted to study. How many of y'all think that? How many of you want to go to Scripture and read God's Word? There is nothing more encouraging in your life than these words that God can tell you. Paul wanted the Scripture. He wanted the books. He wanted the parchments. In times of discouragement, remember to turn to God's Word. In times of discouragement, remember God. We get focused on ourselves, and what do we want to do? We want to shut out and be still. Being still is good because you can hear God. But if you screen out His voice and push Him away too, it does you no good. Stay in God's Word when you're discouraged. In verse 16 and 17, he says this: "At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." In verse 17, he says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me." Paul knew what his purpose was on this earth, right? Paul knew that Jesus spoke to him, stopped him on the road, changed his life, and sent him to preach to the Gentiles. Paul was singularly focused on spreading the gospel. Spreading the gospel. He had been given a command to preach, and he knew that his present troubles, his present discouragements were just that. Let me emphasize that for you tonight. Your present discouragements, your present troubles are just present. They're not future. Because if you are a child of God, guess what you have? The joy and excitement and being energized that that's who you belong to. And that you are going to spend an eternity with Him in heaven. Don't focus on your present troubles. I can't emphasize that enough. Focusing on your present troubles makes you stray and leave God. And Paul knew that he had a command to preach. He knew that no one else seemed to care. At least that's what it looked like. People who were leaving him, they left the faith, they ran away. But even though other folks didn't seem to care, Paul knew that God did. Let me encourage you with that. Paul knew that God stood with him, and he strengthened him. Paul was strengthened so that the message might be fully preached and that all might hear. How does your discouragements in your life keep the gospel from being spread? Well, when you're discouraged, how many of y'all want to spread the gospel? Anybody? It's difficult, right? It's difficult to even want to walk out of your house, depending on how bad you are discouraged. Don't let your discouragements keep you from spreading the gospel. And Paul was strengthened so that all might hear. Paul did not focus on himself during this discouragement, and Paul knew that the Lord would deliver him from every evil and preserve him for His heavenly kingdom. That's what it says in verse 18. "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom." And guess what he did? He said, "To Him be glory forever." Isn't that great? Can you still praise God when you're discouraged? Can you smile when you're discouraged? You can if you're praising God. You can if your love for Him shines through and you let that be what emboldens you and not what shoves you down. And I want us to go back and look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. If you've got your Bibles, turn there. If you don't have this highlighted in your Bible, you probably need to. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Brother Dale, you can come on. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. It says, "Be strong." Be strong. That's not your strength. That's God's strength. His strength. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. Whether it's people, whether it's discouragements, whether it's what's going on in the world, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you, and He will not leave you nor forsake you. I remind you of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, the one who encourages me. I will not fear. What can man do for me? You know, one of the steps that Paul gave us was to be practical. And if you're here tonight and you're not being practical, and what I mean by that is you're not preparing for what's coming. There is a judgment coming. There is a time when the Lord will return. Guys, I prepared for that when I was 8 years old by accepting Jesus as my personal Savior. That's how you become practical, is preparing for what Jesus has laid out in front of you. Now, can I tell you how well my walk has been from age 8 to age 49? I've stumbled and fallen in a ditch so many times. I've been discouraged so many times. But every time I come back and know that the Lord strengthened me and brought me out of that. And if I hadn't been practical, if I had not prepared for that, then guess where I'd be? I'd be in a very bad winter time of my life, freezing to death. But in the case of a lost person, your eternity is in hell in horrible conditions. Without Jesus, without preparing for what He has for us and asking Him to come into your life and ask forgiveness of your sins and admit that you're a sinner, then you're not being practical. You're living from day to day and only focusing on what's here. I pray that you focus on what's coming. And that's the return of Jesus. And He's coming back to get us. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for allowing us to be here in this place, and to come to You in prayer and just have a conversation with You tonight, and just to thank You for all that You've done for us. Father, to help us through our discouragements, to help us to just look to You for our strength, because Father, that's where we find our strength, is in You. I want to praise You tonight for not leaving Paul, but Father, that it's just not Paul that You don't leave. But as Father, it's all of Your children, that You are with us and You guide us and You help us, and You help us overcome those trials in our life. Father, I want to praise You for that tonight. Father, as we close in this song, if there's one here that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, Father, let them come tonight to accept Your sacrifice. Father, if there's those that are here that are struggling tonight in their troubles and their trials, let them find strength in You tonight, that their lives would be filled with Your love, and that they would focus on You. Father, I love You and I praise You. In Your name I pray. Amen.